This is Sunday Side Up, a presentation of Sarkis Tarzian Incorporated. Here's your host, Barb Richards.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us on Sunday Side Up. I'm Barb Richards. Always, I'm appreciative that you've taken some time out of your weekend to spend it with us. On the phone from Lutheran Hospital, it's Dr. Donald Reed and also Nurse Annette Shard, who is heading up the Trauma Awareness Month, which is the month of May, as we all get more active in our lives. Hello, Dr. Reed, and hello, Annette.
Hello. Hi, Barb. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you guys too. So, Dr. Reed, trauma. What defines trauma? Why did they call you and go, we got you, we need you?
Well, basically, it's a generic term used to encompass all patients who are injured, both major injuries and minor injuries. But it's even more comprehensive because it involves, like, the systems to take care of them, everything from, you know, the pre-hospital EMS providers to the emergency rooms where patients often show up, to the hospitals where they get definitive care, onto the rehab facilities and so on that people with major injuries get involved with.
And I imagine, I don't know how long you have been a doctor. Tell me, how long have you been a doctor?
32 years and counting.
You've seen a little bit of change in your business, haven't you?
Oh, I've seen lots of changes, yeah.
And the,
not all for the good, by the way.
But the survival rate of trauma patients has gone up considerably.
Dramatically. And in fact, Barb, this is important for the people in our listening area because your proximity to an American College of Surgeons verified trauma center is directly proportional to your chances of surviving a motor vehicle accident in this country. And if you happen to live out in the western states and rural areas, mortality risk from a vehicular accident is increased.
Mm-hmm. Because the real key to surviving trauma is getting to an emergency room as quick as possible.
That's correct. And even if I might extend that, more than an emergency room, getting to an emergency room in a trauma center where they can provide the resources you need to, you know, save someone with a severe injury.
Yeah. And are you the one that makes the call to send out the helicopter?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm not the one who makes that call. Maybe Annette can address that question. I don't know who makes that call.
I was just wondering.
Actually, that comes from whoever's on the scene. It may be the police officer that responded first. It may be the first responder. It may be the paramedic. But the call originates from the scene.
Oh, right. That makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about this time of year. All those outdoor activities, everybody starts, you know, lawn mowers that have sharp blades, swimming pools. Who wants to jump in and start addressing this time of year?
Well, Our trauma definitely goes up. You know, we talk about trauma seasons for different things, and as soon as the weather starts getting warm and people start doing home improvements and yard work and things, we definitely have an increased trauma related there, both on the adult side from people just trying to do too much too fast, to children being around and sliding under lawnmowers or riding on someone's lap that mm-hmm. shouldn't be riding, you know, because they're riding on the lap and the adult's bottom keeps the seat engaged for the mower, and the child falls off and falls underneath. So we have everything from adult to children that are impacted by those types of things that you mentioned.
Yeah. What are some of the things you're going to make available via your website during Trauma Month, Annette?
Just helpful hints as far as different prevention things, like the home improvement things. Don't be, you know, if you can hire somebody to get on your roof, do that. Because getting on your roof and not, you know, having the prevention things in place and falling off and being paralyzed or dying from a head injury or something from that fall is much worse than the whole leaving some leaves on your roof or those kinds of things. So, and then everything from, we know that children are going to be out and about more. You know, our Kids Dart campaign will be coming up before very long.
Oh, yeah, Kids Dart, yeah. Drive smart. Yep. Do you find, Dr. Reed, that a lot of trauma is caused by people just not thinking things through?
As a matter of fact, Barb, if I could paint with a broad brushstroke, almost all serious trauma is caused by people not thinking things through. Everything from you know, we'll get these old fellas who in their 80s are up on the roof, you know, taking down their Christmas lights or trying to clean out their gutters, to young street warriors who are out, you know, riding their motorcycles without helmets, to moms who think they can reach into their purse to answer a cell phone, and when the purse is sitting on the floor and kids strapped in the back and run into the person who stopped in front of them. I would say a large percentage of the trauma we get is from people not thinking things through.
I've had trauma twice in my life, and I would have to agree with that statement, Dr. Reed. You know, don't run outside in the dark because you might trip on uneven pavement.
There you go. There's another one.
Fall and break your nose.
Yeah. Oh. And it's going to be a painful reminder that that wasn't a good choice.
Yeah.
But we see patients making bad choices all the time. And, you know, we got a couple of the gunshot victims from this weekend, and those people, without getting delving into the details of their injuries or who they were, made bad choices in life. That's often how you get involved with being on the wrong end of a gun or some kind of a weapon of assault.
Annette, if you could say one thing to parents right now about the most important thing that you can teach your child, what would it be?
Even though it sounds redundant, we've been hearing it for years, is stop and think about something before you actually do it, whether it's driving too fast or not wearing the helmet or leaning too far on a ladder when you're doing something, or
not looking both ways.
Yeah, all those types of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Dr. Reed, what about you? What would you say?
Oh, Barb, it's too
I know.
Almost,
I mean,
too much to put into a I would say don't drive your car without your seatbelt fastened. Make sure your kids and any other passengers are fastened, and don't ride a motorcycle, but if you have to ride a motorcycle or an ATV, regardless of your age, make certain you are wearing your helmet. I've just been one of the people tasked with rewriting the American College of Surgeons position statement on mandatory motorcycle helmet use. And I tell you, the preponderance of evidence of research in the last 30, 40 years is overwhelming about the difference wearing a helmet makes on a motorcycle.
I lost a friend just about a year ago who was out and was not wearing his helmet. And by golly, I know he knew better.
Yeah.
Oh, again, bad choices.
Yep, bad choices.
Yeah. I want to say this, because what I learned, too, by going out and running, and sometimes running, you know, by myself on the streets or whatever, when I was taken into the emergency room for the nose, there was another runner that was brought in who did not have any form of identification on them.
Wow.
What happens when a patient comes into a trauma center with no ID? What do you do?
Annette, why don't you answer that one?
Well, typically the police are involved trying to track that down, but initially what we just have to do is make them what we call a John or Jane Doe patient.
And are you allowed to treat them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Depending, you know, obviously if they're awake and can tell us they want treated, we would know their name. So most of these that we're talking about are critical enough that they aren't talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that automatically, if there's loss of life, limb, those kinds of things, we take care of them no matter what, whether we know who they are or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But do you agree with me, Dr. Reed, I'm wearing ID?
Yes, absolutely. Even when you're out running, I'm actually guilty of that on occasion myself.
Yeah, you just need to get one of those Roadrunner IDs that you put on your shoe, and then you never have to think about it.
Right. Exactly.
So, is there anything that you would, and then again, you know, let's go back to the seatbelt issue. How many years... You in the medical profession, me in the media, have been saying, you know, I can remember not wearing seatbelts when we were little. But how many times can we, why would people even think about, I can't even drive without a seatbelt because it's just automatic.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Plus it's the law, right?
Yeah, well, there is that little thing.
Yeah.
You want to address the amount of trauma caused by texting and driving?
I actually think it's a huge problem. Honestly, you see people doing it all the time. I've been guilty in the past and make a conscious effort not to. It's just so tempting when that thing goes off to pick it up, read it, when you've already now diverted your attention from the road and then start answering. But statistically, I don't know where it came from, but my wife, who's a nurse, quoted some research article that said there's probably more accidents caused by people adjusting the radio or trying to eat while they're driving. I mean, there's just a variety of distractions.
There are a lot of distractions when you drive that sometimes I find myself really being guilty of it too and going, how did I even get from point A to point B? That can't be good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we've gotten so far ahead, though, on getting people so quickly to trauma centers now. What does Lutheran actually offer in its trauma center?
Well, say that again. I'm sorry, Barb.
Well, I was going to say, what does Lutheran offer in their trauma center that is so specialized?
Well, the American College of Surgeons is the national organization charged with verifying trauma center through its Committee on Trauma, which I have the honor of being a member of. And the guidelines were initially established in the late 70s and then have evolved in the 35 or 40 years since that time. What I think Lutheran offers, along with, you know, there are, I think, 8 now verified trauma centers in the state of Indiana, including Parkview here in Fort Wayne, Memorial in South Bend, Methodist, Wishard, Riley, and St. Vincent's in Indy, and then St. Mary's and Deaconess in Evansville, is immediate access to emergency physicians who are trained in advanced trauma life support. That's probably the first and biggest key. Almost immediate access to diagnostic agents like CT scanners and so on. The 24-hour availability has to be established in a verified trauma center. And immediate availability of things like operating room, blood banks, intensive care units. Those are all the things that have been shown in modern trauma care to make a difference in saving people. Really probably one of the biggest is how quickly a surgeon will respond to trauma, and there are specific guidelines nationally, I'm speaking now, for you to be a verified trauma center. And verified trauma centers are required to have trauma surgeons on call 24/7 and to be available to see severe trauma within 15 minutes of arrival.
Wow. Oh, Annette, you started to say something about that too.
Oh, I was just going to talk, I was going to kind of address how quickly you could get to a surgeon on a 24/7 basis. Unlike maybe being out in the middle, I believe that all emergency departments have a part to do with the system and getting people to the right place. But getting to that trauma center when it's 2 a.m. and you can still have that same access to a surgeon and the entire team as you do at 2 in the afternoon, unlike if you're out in a very rural community where you're not going to have that same access 24 hours a day.
So is a trauma doctor on staff 24/7, or do they get called in if there's a reason?
Well, they're on call 24/7. Mm-hmm. There's no requirement that they sit in the emergency room. They mm-hmm. could be anywhere, ICU, operating room, cafeteria. They could be down the street at their office. That doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They just have to be within 15 minutes of the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big, I think, oft-quoted misunderstanding that the difference between Level 1 trauma centers like Methodist and Wishard in Indy and Level 2 trauma centers like Lutheran and Parkview in Fort Wayne is that you have to have a surgeon in-house. And I can assure you that I've read that nowhere in the book. What it says is who must respond to the patient upon arrival and within 15 minutes, and they're very specific about that.
Dr. Reed, do you have a specific story that you wanted to share about a patient in the past that was a great example of, by getting them into the trauma center, this great result happened?
Sure. There was a pretty well-known case here at Lutheran about a young man, who shall remain nameless, who came in just before Thanksgiving, driving to school. Good kid, made a bad choice, not wearing a seatbelt. His truck he was driving rolled and he was ejected, severely injured, spent about 6 hours in surgery the first day, 6 hours in surgery the second day. I think he received something like 30 units of blood products in the first 24 hours he was here. Ultimately left the hospital doing well about, I think, just before Christmas. He's been following up with his orthopedic doctors. He's required a lot of orthopedic surgery in addition to the other operations he had. And anxiously went back to school, so he's back in school and that. And honestly, I think his guardian angel was watching out for him. But short of the modern trauma care that we were able to provide him, I think it's highly unlikely if he'd have been an hour or two away that he probably would have even survived.
That's an amazing story. Sounds to me like he's a live walking miracle.
Yeah, I think so. I think his mother thinks so too. She works here.
So we do hear a lot about brain injuries and the changes through the past few years on, getting them in quick, you allowing swelling to happen outside of the skull, all that kind of stuff. I mean, those things are just amazing to me that you're able to do that.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of amazing treatments available, but, they're based on years of research. And if anything, this stuff has been going on elsewhere for longer. I think, if anything, it's been slow in coming to the state of Indiana for a variety of reasons. I actually came from Michigan when I moved down here about 6 years ago to help start the trauma center at Lutheran. And I think, if anything, things have evolved slowly in this state. Fortunately, the last governor, Governor Daniels, was very much on top of this issue, and Governor Pence has sort of picked up the baton, and we have things that Annette and I participate in, like the Indiana State Trauma Care Committee down in Indianapolis, and there's a big push in the state now to increase awareness, get all the pre-hospital as well as the hospital providers, in the same room and talking and setting realistic goals and trying to bring resources to the table that will help save the lives of injured Hoosiers.
And Annette, I think we all forget about the statistic of how many people really do lose their lives through trauma. We get a lot of focus on, breast cancer and, other things like that, heart disease, lung disease, but really trauma takes a lot of lives every year.
Oh, that's a huge, number one, correct me if I'm wrong on that, it's the number one source of mortality between the ages of 15 and 44, those three decades, isn't that correct?
And actually, it goes down even further, clear down to age one now.
Okay. So there you go, almost the first half a century that you're alive, your number one chance of dying is related to being injured.
Is there some national organizations that focus on this that you'll be linking to on your Lutheran site during the month of May, Annette? And my other question for you, Annette, was that you always hear about fundraisers going on for heart disease or lung disease. Any fundraisers going on for trauma awareness?
Well, sadly, no. That's not one of those things that, you don't tend to see telethons and those kinds of things happen for trauma. We just have to get the word out. And as far as teaching injury prevention and, having functions to look at those kinds of goals, but an actual fundraiser, no.
I was just kind of curious because you do, I know it's such a leading cause of death, but you're right. We should just have a radiothon that just has you guys on talking about.
Yeah, sure.
Be careful.
Yeah, that's right. So, how about something to pay the bills of all the uninsured people? You'd be surprised how many people, Barb, can afford a $15,000 or $20,000 Harley and can't manage to afford a helmet or health insurance. I really find that shocking, actually.
I guess people always have this feeling that they can beat the system.
Yeah. They're going to somehow beat death.
Yeah. That's just not really going to happen.
Probably not. No.
Well, I feel very, very safe to have you guys here in the community. If anything does happen, because as you said, with being the certified trauma center, it's the place to go. It's the place to live close by.
Well, absolutely. If you saw the statistics, you'd probably want to buy a house across the street or something. But proximity is a big deal. I just want to mention also that Lizette brought to my attention that there is an upcoming diabetes awareness speech going on with an Indy race car driver named Charlie Kimball in May. It's not part of our trauma thing, but it is part of our public education, and that's on Wednesday, May 8th at 5:30 p.m. in the Cashman Auditorium.
I don't mind a free plug, and while I'm thinking about it, too, you guys have connected yourselves with Fort Wayne's smallest winner And I just think that that's a great program, too. It's wonderful when you have something that changes lives one person at a time, because that's maybe the best we can do with some of these things, you know?
Right.
And that smallest winner seems to be doing that here in Fort Wayne. So hopefully that means less patients inside the hospital, right?
Right, exactly.
So one more question for you, Dr. Reed, and I'm going to let you go. I've held you over a few extra minutes. I appreciate your time. I know you're busy. Where does a trauma doctor go if they have trauma?
Yeah, that's a good point. My wife's put out that exact point. Well, I'm still going to go to Lutheran. I want to be taken care of in my own hospital. It's just going to have to be somebody other than me. We have many surgeons who take trauma calls. So
yeah, absolutely.
Fortunately, hopefully there will be somebody around here to take care of me.
So, and Annette, anything else you want to mention on the show today?
Actually, I do want to put one plug in. We have a pediatric pre-hospital conference coming up on June 8th to try to, again, help get the word out. And this is for everybody from rural to urban to whomever can come attend from that pre-hospital and emergency and hospital environment, so that we can, again, do more trauma education and beef up the system even more.
Right. Well, very good. I think that this is a good focus for a program, especially for the month of May. And again, Annette, can you give out the address, the web address for Lutheran?
Actually, I caught you.
Here's Liz. Liz is frantically writing it down behind you. I had it up a second ago.
I'll put Liz on. She probably knows it.
Hi.
Liz, the website address.
Oh, the website, lutheranhealth.net.
Website is lutheranhealth.net. Very good. Very interesting things. Dr. Reed is a trauma doctor out at Lutheran Hospital, and fascinating stuff to know about what great care Lutheran and, of course, Parkview 2 providing to all of us here in the area. Annette, thank you ever so much. We really appreciate all of the words of caution. Let's pay attention. And Annette, as you said, let's think before we do stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. Thanks for joining us on Sunday Side Up.
Thanks for tuning in for Sunday Side Up with your host, Barb Richards. The views expressed in the show are not necessarily those of Sarkis Tarzian Management. For comments or questions, please contact the station directly.